sorrow in the distance. I'm gonna trust and cast my fears aside. My life's a work that I know you'll finish. I know I'm gonna be alright. It's you I'll chase.
Welcome back. You're joining the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Team Power, our local Kubota dealer. And Team Power is running some service specials right now. If you want to get up there and get your tractor or farm equipment serviced, go up and talk to them. Give them
or
a call.
Or your mower.
Well, yeah, or your mower, yeah.
Once all this rain hits your grass.
Yeah, it'll be growing about 3 inches a day. So, yeah, give them a call at 226-9226. They're at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, or you can get them on the web at readingtractors.com.
Ta-da! You can find everything about the show at wethepeopleradio.us. Information about sponsorship, previous shows, all of our archives are free of charge. Our friend Robert Exter takes all the capitalism out. So although we are big supporters of capitalism, the commercials sometimes make the shows longer. So we do take those out for the archive. And so if you have friends who say that they don't like to listen to radio because they don't like all the commercials, well, there's no excuse now.
That's right.
You just send them that MP3 file. It's free. They can put it on their little phone or listen to it in their car or whether treadmilling or whatever it is people do these days.
That's right.
So anyway, our guest today is Mary Todd. She and her niece have written a book called Hard Drive. It's a family's fight against three countries. It is the story of her son, Shane Todd, Dr. Shane Todd, actually, who was murdered in Singapore in June of 2012. And there is a little blurb on the back of the book that I really like. The authors, Mary Todd and Shane's cousin, Christina Villegas, hope this book will honor Shane's memory, enthrall and inspire the readers, highlight the universal struggle for truth and justice against the deceit of those who insidiously seek to gain and maintain power, and raise attention to a growing potential threat to U.S. national security interest, the use and misuse of advanced technologies and weapons systems. And that is really the fact that a brilliant young man was taken in the prime of his life, the deceit of all of the governments involved, Singapore, China, a Chinese company, Huawei, spelled H-U-A-W-E-I, lest they be confused or muddled. And they're in the news quite a bit.
And the United States.
And the United States was, to put it mildly, worthless
or
to help this family, so... That's the end of our input. Back to Mary.
Thanks. So everything that we did, we geared towards the inquiry that was going to be in May of 2013. The inquiry we were told into our son's death in Singapore, they said it would be just a fact-finding mission. And this is going to make us really sound stupid. We halfway believed him and hoped that it was true, that if we could just get all the evidence to court, we would prove. At that point, our son's body had come back to the United States riddled with defensive wounds, bruises all over his hands, two bumps on his forehead. We have pictures with him with a bloody lip, a bloody nose. And so right there, two doctors in the United States said, when they saw his body physically, said he fought for his life.
And the bumps on his head, you said, were headbutts, where he had headbutted somebody.
Yeah, that's his signature move. So he was not only a rugby player, he was an ultimate fighter.
He
liked to do headbutts. And so I'm sure Dr. Adelstein, who was a pathologist, he was the chief pathologist at Harry Truman Veterans Hospital. He analyzed the pictures of Shane's body, the literature on his neck, and all of that and came to the conclusion that Shane had was killed. And he said that he really must have gotten a piece of it. It had to have been at least two men, one from behind and one from the front. But he made us feel really good when he said he really must have hurt somebody because his hands were so bruised and then the two headbutts. And so if it gives us any peace at all, which Christ probably wouldn't feel this way, but I do. I'm
happy to try. Well, that's why he's Jesus and we're not.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so we sent his report to the inquiry. We sent the pictures to the inquiry. We sent all the computer forensic, which came up with so much more than what I could tell you. The whole relationship between the IME that they completely denied. They denied that they even had a relationship between IME and Huawei. They denied everything. So it all went to the inquiry. And sadly, when we got there, we realized we had asked for Tracy Gowen's testimony. She could have right there said the police lied. They withheld, our government withheld her testimony and told us that they claimed diplomatic immunity, and they sent her to Mexico.
And she worked for the State Department, just for people who...
She was the vice counsel, yeah.
Right.
She was the one that was with us when we heard the description. So she was representing, and a wonderful person, by the way. She was lovely to us. And probably she was unwilling to lie under oath, which other people were willing to do. So they probably had to take her out. To this day, I feel horrible for her, the position she was put in. We have begged her to come forward and tell the truth, and she doesn't communicate back to us. But at the time, when we got to Singapore and asked where she was, they said that she was not going to be there, that she claimed diplomatic immunity. If it was a balanced and just fact-finding mission, wouldn't our State Department want everyone to testify?
Exactly. Well, besides that, the State Department said publicly that they encouraged the Tracy to testify, and that they didn't claim diplomatic immunity.
So, which was a lie. That I had all the emails to prove it was a lie.
Right. So they claimed diplomatic immunity, but when you said, "Hey, wait, why are you claiming diplomatic immunity? We're not claiming diplomatic immunity."
The beauty of modern technology is most of my book is backed up through the email communications of what I did. I was constantly communicating, and so it was really wonderful to have that. But when we got to the inquiry, my son Chet and his wife Corinne were with us, my son John, my son Dylan, our son, Rick and I, and my brother Richard, and Rick's sister Mary, and then Ashraf Masood, the computer forensic expert. We were all together. We had planned almost a full month in Singapore, because when we started, they told us it was going to be a two-day inquiry. Once the inquiry started, it went on so long, and we finally realized that we couldn't even testify until after our flight was to go home. Day after day, watching the inquiry cover up and lie about what happened to Shane, and even as we gave the evidence, we realized our pro bono lawyers were completely inept, and now we believe work for Singapore. We went up against 10 top lawyers, 5 from IME, 5 from Singapore, and it was just a sham. And after about 2 weeks, we just stood up, bowed to the judge, and walked out.
So this isn't something, it's not a process like we have here. It wasn't any kind of a trial or any of that. It was just your family brought evidence, and then the Singapore government brought evidence.
But your evidence wasn't, some of your evidence was not allowed. And, I mean, you guys were running up against a wall the whole way. Even your forensic expert, they said they would pay to have him come there and testify. And it wasn't just a few days before you guys were ready to go. You had to buy his ticket and send him over because they never did pay for anything.
Right.
Yeah. It was a
clue there.
A process that we can't even imagine, and it's okay. Sorry, she's giving us the high sign. Darn it, we got to take another break.
Okay, go ahead.
Capitalism is wonderful, but it just keeps interrupting our story. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. You had your eyes open for a long time at this point, I'm sure, Mary.
Oh, yeah. So at the inquiry with the 10 top lawyers, one of which had a higher ranking than the judge himself, the IME claimed that there was minimal connection between IME and Huawei. We proved them false, so they did admit, well, there was some relationship.
And those two companies can't do business
Not with this technology.
It was
an illegal. Yeah.
Okay.
It was an illegal relationship. And with Singapore, Shane could, and I really do believe Shane was set up from the very beginning. He was an American, and American is the only one that could get this technology. Shane was smart enough to understand the technology, to learn it, and he was American, so he could, and it was legal for him to work on it in Singapore. He thought he was working on a simple switch for a cell phone. Once he realized that what he was being asked to do would be treason.
Because they were asking him to write down what they called a recipe. They were asking him to write it down because it couldn't be transmitted electronically because it was against the law.
Right. That's correct. So when he was in training, he wrote it down. And we had the emails proving that, where Patrick Lowe, his boss, told him to handwrite the recipe. They would not allow that in the court. The other thing that they would not allow was that there was a recording done by one of Shane's colleagues where Patrick Lowe told the employees, this was a secret recording that Shane's colleague took. Patrick Lowe, Shane's boss, told his employees that there would be legal actions if they testified under oath anything about Shane or Huawei. And we tried to submit that to the court, and they would not allow that as well. So it was just one thing after another of not allowing us to submit really important evidence. And their evidence, they had a bag of rocks, and a lady testified for 3 hours about the fiber in the rope that Shane supposedly hung himself with, and they used a bag of rocks to simulate my son's body and how he could have jumped off of a chair. His girlfriend testified that his feet were flat on the floor when she found him. None of it made sense, but they just went on these bunny trails and took hours and hours and day after day to prove that it was suicide with things that really made no sense.
Because his girlfriend found him initially, so she knew exactly what that scene looked like, despite the... I thought it was also very interesting that you guys figured out that the picture of Shane... stretched out on the floor with it, just the position he was in. They literally did a lousy Photoshop of turning that into kind of almost like a bootleg picture of him
hanging from the door.
And it was the exact same picture of him laying on the floor.
Yeah, you can see it. So originally, as I told you, Detective Call said that he took no pictures. But they had to have a picture of him hanging for the court. So they took the picture of him laying on the floor and put it upright. And you can see his knee is bent exactly the way it is. His shirt's going up, so gravity should be going down, right?
Yeah.
His shirt was up.
Even those of us with no PhD in science know that gravity will make your shirt hang down.
Yeah. Right. And so they did submit that in court.
Well, then also, too, you said in the picture that there was a birthmark or a mole that was photoshopped over,
that was missing.
And the skin tone was wrong.
So all the what Dr. Adelstein told us, that he was garroted with a wire, and Shirley said he was found with a wire around his neck. The Singapore police claimed that he had a towel around his neck and there was a strap. So the pictures show fingernail marks going down under the wire, so he tried to get his fingers under the wire to stop from being garroted, which means, strangled, choked with a wire. And so they showed pictures of a baby's butt. His neck looked like a baby's butt rather than the real pictures. And if you go to our website, we have both pictures you can see. They claimed that the bruises all over his hand was lividity, which lividity is blood pooling. My husband was in the mortuary business for years, so he knows the difference. When you get embalmed, blood pooling goes away, bruises don't. And so the guy they had testifying, the pathologist there, said, oh, it's blood pooling. They made an excuse for everything. And never said anything about his wounds or anything like that. But the one thing that was interesting that they themselves submitted is there was DNA, Malaysian and Chinese DNA, on the towel, none of Shane's DNA, on the rope at the strap or the towel.
So supposedly it was around his neck, but it just magically didn't have any of his DNA on it?
Well, he had it underneath. They did put it around his neck to take pictures later when he was lying there on the ground. It was the strap around it had none of Shane's DNA, and the knot had no one's DNA. So somebody, whoever did the knot, had gloves on, and the knot wasn't a slip knot. So you can't hang yourself without a slip knot. They submitted that. And no one looked into the Chinese and Malaysian DNA. All over the strap where Shane had no DNA.
And what happened to the strap and the towel?
Well, we paid thousands of dollars to get the towel and the strap. And we went to two separate courts in Singapore, and they decided that it was too hurtful for us to get it. It would be too harmful for our psyche, and so they incinerated the strap and the towel.
It was just for kindness.
Yeah.
They were being kind to our family.
A little bit convenience, yep. But mostly kindness.
Thank you so much for that.
Right. Wow.
Stop helping us.
Yes. So the other thing they lied, IME lied about the Vico machine, saying it was like an oven, that it was an ordinary machine available all throughout Asia. We had evidence showing the contrary.
And a Vico machine is...
And this is the machine that grows the organic material on silicon.
Yep.
It was a very specialized
gallium
machine.
Nitrite is...
Right.
Yep. Yeah. Which you had talked about earlier, Bill. Yep. So the MOCVD machine and the formula, they said that it was just a normal machine that's all through Asia. Well, we gave evidence that we had from Shane's computer showing that it was not normal and that it was a one-of-a-kind machine, and that it also showed that it was capable of military application. And so the documents found on Shane's hard drive demonstrated all of this, and it was 150 watts compared to 60 watts. So that's military grade,
right.
60 watts.
Yeah, and they classified it as multiple use. Which in code means military.
Right. Crossover into military.
Right.
And at what point did Senator Max Baucus, at what point did he go to work for the, as an ambassador and disappear from your world? Was it after the inquiry or before?
My brain is foggy right now. I believe it was after the inquiry. He wanted to go to the inquiry with us. And so we came back to the United States and with all the evidence that we had submitted, with everything that had happened, and it was after that point, shortly after, that we got the phone call from Laura Rausch, his legislative assistant, and so it was after the inquiry. I can't give you the exact date.
No, I was just putting timeline together for people because, honestly... The story, when you start looking at all the players involved, is just so compelling. There's just no way. I mean, one of these things could happen, but not all of them.
Yeah.
And, the one piece of the puzzle that we haven't brought in is our fearless FBI under Bob Mueller.
Yeah.
They never lifted a finger and never ever got back to you at all.
Well, they sent babysitters to us constantly because at the time our house, my computer was being hacked. Our house had been broken into. They kept sending FBI babysitters to our house, and finally I said, unless you guys are going to do something, we don't need babysitters. We want action. And so they did a lot of things to make you feel like they were doing something, but nothing ever happened. And it started to dawn on us that nothing would happen. And I have letter after letter from Mueller, and the FOIA request was denied. CBS, who followed us, you know, with 48 hours, they asked for a FOIA and told me it was the first time they've ever been denied. We finally got a document that was about 9 pages with several pages blank and just denied across it. We still have not received the full FOIA request.
And just so everybody's clear, some of the players that were involved here were Senator Baucus, Secretary of State John Kerry, Attorney General Eric Holder, and Arizona Senator John McCain. And nothing got done.
Right.
So
and
who's
at the
in
time,
whose pocket?
Max Baucus was the third most powerful senator in the United States, and nothing got done.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Biden was involved as well. So after the inquiry, there was a man named Michael D. There's a whole chapter about the – he wrote a 20-page document showing the fallacies of the inquiry.
That was fascinating.
Yes. And he actually got that 20-page document into the hands of Joe Biden, and nothing was ever done.
That's the part that blows me away, because that was a very well-written synopsis of what happened.
I forget now how long it was, but it went on and on.
Yeah,
but
it covered everything, and it was easy to understand. And how could somebody in power read that and then just say, oh, well, you know, because they did nothing.
Yeah, so our State Department, within a very short amount of time, declared, in fact, that very day that it was that the coroner, Fate was his name, concluded that the evidence proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that Shane committed suicide, our State Department said that they felt that the whole inquiry was comprehensive, fair, and transparent. And Michael D., who was an ambassador to Singapore when he was an honorary consul general for Singapore, when he was living in Texas, he had lived in Singapore. He loved Singapore. He just knew something was really wrong. And so he really studied the case, looked into it, and then wrote this 20-page document just showing all the anomalies, all the fallacies. He's still fighting for us to this day, and nothing has been done.
Look, he was his part in this was amazing. That was chapter 15.
Yeah. Yes.
With him. Yes. And the one part here, he said, as there are no transcripts, I've solely worked off the coroner's findings and public quotes. So he wasn't involved on an emotional level. He was involved basically going through all the facts presented and arriving at a totally different conclusion than the inquiry did. We've got to take a really quick break. We're going to be back with our guest, Mary Todd. We're discussing the book about the murder of her son. The book is called Hard Drive, A Family's Fight Against Three Countries, and you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
And even though I don't know what you're planning, I know you make beauty from these ashes. I've seen joy, I've seen pain. I can't do everything, well, I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem.
I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I find with everyone.
Okay, Mary. Now where?
Perfect. Michael D.
Yes.
So Michael D is a man. He actually at times drove me crazy because he was so non-emotional and he wanted facts. And I thank God for him because I could write this book. He asked me so many questions that I had to prove, including the testimony of Tracy Goins, including everything I put in there. I had to prove to Michael D first. So I was ready. And God used him in an amazing way to just, he was a total stranger. He contacted us and said, what's happening is wrong. And the other thing I wanted to tell you is when we were in Singapore, so many Singaporean people showed support for us secretly. Thumbs up. You're doing the right thing. Please keep going. We've gotten email after email after email. I apologize for what our government has done to you. Please don't stop. Please stick up for the people. They are oppressed. People. They are under the rule of a government that is dictatorial, and it's serious. And my son is in heaven. He is doing well. We will see him again. But the fact remains that our government has done nothing, and our country needs to be protected from this insidious evil.
No, and they we don't hear that. All we hear is we have a trade deficit. You know, no, the Chinese, mm-hmm. It is. It's a very dictatorial, evil mm-hmm. government. I mean, the things that they do over there. We've done several shows on China and what happens over there, and it's not a nice place.
But it's all under, the thing that makes it so creepy is that it's all mm-hmm. very much under the surface, and I had shared with you on email, and I've said this before, I've got nephews who've gone over to coach basketball, for
instance.
We got
one over there right now.
Things like that, and they're treated mm-hmm. really well, and they think it's all great. But the yep. part they I don't think they realize, or that we don't realize as Americans, is that they are watching you every single minute. The people you meet, none of them
yep.
are accidental acquaintances. None of what they say is necessarily what they want to tell you, and it's all very mm-hmm. very and tightly
and
controlled.
And they magically speak English when you meet them.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not an accident. Yep.
That's true too. So
yep.
so here what you really need are people from the company IME that he worked for to come forward and say, hey, and a lot of them did, who said Shane wasn't depressed.
Yep.
Shane was great. We like had dinner, we were having a great time, and suddenly yep. he commits suicide. And they did come forward and tell you, but
yep.
I'm sure that that's a life-threatening admission at some point. Anybody who would come forward, and they didn't kick the door in at his apartment. This was not a break-in. It was obviously somebody that he knew opened the door, and
yeah.
they burst in on him. So, and those people didn't come forward.
He lived in a district. This is another funny thing. He got this amazing apartment. He can't figure out how he got it. Nobody mm-hmm. could, at this amazing price, and it happened to be in a historic district without cameras. Every place else in Singapore has cameras. His flatmate and him shared the same computer. You know, they had the same hard drive, or whatever you call it, the same
network. They were
router.
Using the same
router.
Yeah. The same
yes.
access to the internet.
Router.
Thank you.
So Shane's flat was right down the hall from his on the same floor. And when Shirley came, she came because she hadn't heard from Shane since Friday. She found him Sunday night. She came. His door was open. It wasn't locked. It wasn't banged in. The young man that had the same flat as Shane did have a key to his door. There were a lot of suspicions towards him. Right after Shane died, he was gone.
Oh.
There's so many things. That, yeah. There's
well, he had so contradictory testimony, too, didn't he?
No, he didn't. He didn't have contradictory testimony. He wouldn't go in. Shirley screaming, and he wouldn't go in.
That was
Shane,
it. That
was the deal.
Yeah, he just ran for help. He didn't see him.
Well, he said he knew something was really bad. He thought it would hurt his psyche. Well,
Very delicate.
You know, if there's a woman screaming, you would come in. Yeah, I would come in. I would come in.
Now, was he a Chinese citizen or is he American?
No. I think he was Canadian, and there was some murky stuff there that I didn't put in the book because if I couldn't prove anything,
right.
I did. My niece wouldn't let me.
Right.
I wrote a lot more than was put in.
Well, I got to tell you,
why we were such a great partnership.
Yeah, when I read the book, I was a little bit surprised there wasn't more in there about him because it was very vague about his role and him not going in and then
so it was as murky as it looked to us, to the outside.
It was pretty, there was some murky stuff there. And so I just, after the inquiry, we came home and I was so deflated. I just thought, this is just insane. And that's when I decided, I'm going to write this book. I'm going to tell the truth. And once I do, I'm going to move on. And I'm going to live my life. And if God opens a door, I will walk through it. If he doesn't, I will just live a good life and enjoy my husband and my children and my grandchildren. And that's pretty much what I've done. And God is, right now, he's opening a lot of doors because of Huawei and being in the news every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what's going to happen. What I do know and what I really want people to know in this story, that my two favorite parts of our whole story is 4 months before Shane's death, we had this amazing phone conversation, and I'll say that we raised our kids in a Christian home. We homeschooled them for many years, and you know, as a mom that loves Christ, my goal was that my kids would grow to love Christ. And when Shane was in college, he had a faith crisis and kind of walked away from his faith. But 4 months before his death, we're on the phone, and he said, "Mom, I'm going back to church, and I'm really enjoying church." And then he said, "I really want to apologize to you. It's been 11 years, and Mom, you know, I've walked away." And he said, "I want to apologize." And he said, "Can we pray together?" And I was so shocked. I was like, "What?
Wow."
Anyway, I said, "Do you want me to pray? Are you going to pray, Shane?" And he said, "No, I want to pray." And he just prayed the most beautiful prayer of repentance and returning to Jesus that I was just in tears. And he said at the end, he goes, "Mom, if God gets me through this alive, I want to spend the rest of my life serving him." And I thought that's what was going to happen. I really did. And then the other part of this story that I just want to be so grateful to God for is that September after Shane's death at that pastor's retreat in Tahoe, I didn't sleep for the first 3 years after Shane's death, even on sleeping pills. I might get an hour here or an hour there, but it was just a horrendous time. But at that pastor's retreat, I did fall asleep for a little bit, and part of my problem in falling asleep is I'd always think, did he call my name out? Was he yelling, "Mom, help," or what? Here, what happened? You know, how badly was he hurt? What was going through his mind? All these things. And so that one night, I had a vision of Shane in the middle of the night. And it wasn't a vision. It wasn't a dream. It was a vision. It was more real than what I see outside, the snow outside my Montana window right now. And it was of me in my kitchen cooking in California, cooking as usual, four boys. And Shane came walking through the door from the outside, and I looked at him, and I knew that he was dead, but he looked glorified and he looked beautiful and his face was glowing. He had a white t-shirt on, he had shorts, and he had rainbow sandals. And I just looked at him and I said, "Shane, is that you?" And he goes, "Mom, it's me." And I said, "Shane, is it really you?" And he goes, "Mom, it's really me." And I ran into his arms and I felt his huge rugby arms around my, just wrapped around me, and I just started to kiss the circumference of his face, and I could smell his breath, and I could feel his beard, and I just held him and kissed him. And then all of a sudden, someone walked in from the side, and Shane was gone. And I woke up that morning, and not once since then have I worried about how he died. God healed my heart that night. to worry. I saw his glorified body, and I knew where he was, and I knew I would see him again, and I'm so grateful for that.
That is awesome. I mean, even in the midst of massive tragedy and loss, there's some confirmation in there.
Put your mind to rest.
Exactly. Yep. We're going to take our last quick break. We're going to come back with our guest, Mary Todd. This is the story of her son, Dr. Shane Truman Todd. You can find all the information at wethepeopleradio.us.
If I could read your mind, love, what a tale your thoughts could tell. Just like a paperback novel, the kind the drugstore sells. When you reach the part where the heartaches come, the hero would be me. Heroes often fail. You won't read that book again, because the ending just too hard to take.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove them all right song. My power's turned off. Starting right now, I'll be scored. I'll play my fight song. And I don't really care if nobody else believes. Cause I've still got a lot of fight left in me.
There you go, Mary. That could be your theme song.
That is so good.
I looked at that last night and I thought, I know where we're going to play this. Hey, we had somebody who called during the last segment who wanted to know what you think about the Otto Warmbier story.
I don't know it.
The kid who was killed in North Korea.
North Korea, yeah.
I think
the one that came back?
Yes.
That was in such horrible shape. He's still alive and then died on the way back.
Yep,
here.
Correct.
Yep, no answers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I don't know that much about that. I do know that there's 5 different families who have contacted me whose children have died under suspicious circumstances similar that do not have a hard drive, hoping I could help them.
Oh, wow.
One whose son was teaching English in China, and he did not like the way that the government was working the people, and he started to rebel.
Oops.
And all of a sudden, they told his mother, Maxine, that he was hit by a car. When she got his body, it was bludgeoned. His whole head had been bludgeoned to death. Nothing has ever, happened. Another engineer in China called his mom in the morning, 56-year-old engineer working on a water project, dead that night. No explanation. So I guess how I feel about it is that is why I'm so passionate about telling our story. It reveals the our government's involvement in the cover-up from the highest level, and if we don't stop now, how far is it going to go? How
exactly.
many more lives are going to be
well,
taken?
Well, and you had said in the book that Singapore is... I forget how it was worded, but
a conduit.
That no murder ever happens in Singapore. No one ever.
No one ever gets murdered.
Not that no one ever dies, but that no one ever gets murdered.
100%. There's no murder in Singapore. So when asked under oath, the pathologist, they said, "How many suicides have you looked at in Singapore?" And he said, "Over 200." And they said, "Well, how many have been suicides? Anything other than suicide? None. Zero.
Yeah, 100%.
There's no murder in Singapore. Yeah, 100%.
Well, one of the things that we didn't really gloss it over, but we didn't talk a lot about it, was the hard drive. The hard drive was really the source and of a lot of your information, and the Singapore police were adamant about getting that hard drive back. They didn't want you to have that because they knew.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that there was damaging information on there. And in fact, even our FBI encouraged you to return that hard drive.
Yeah.
Well, and sadly, at the end, we did return the hard. We gave them the hard drive. We have in, you know, we took copies of it.
Mm-hmm.
We said no. And then finally the FBI promised us that they would be involved. And we did send them the hard drive. But why would they want the hard drive? It was just a copy of Shane's computers. What they wanted was the serial number off the hard drive for the inquiry.
But then after that, I mean, you had made multiple copies, but then your home was broken into, and guess what was stolen?
No, yeah. that the hard drive, I put that in the book. I'm not sure that exactly happened. Our house was broken into. This is what happened, and we couldn't find the hard drive. I wrote the book. I find the hard drive in a different place after the book was written.
No kidding.
I don't know if it was removed. Yeah, and replaced. So I hate the fact that I wrote that in the book because I actually found it, but it wasn't in the place I had left it.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is our house was broken into. The fact of the matter is that the hard drive was missing, but then all of a sudden it showed up in a place I'd never put it. So I don't really know what
happened. That's pretty
creepy,
though.
It's funny, as I was reading the book, I'm like, oh, wow, I hope they kept that hard drive someplace else. And then at the end, it's the house was broken into. I'm all, oh, I was waiting for that.
Yeah. So we have it in a security box now, but they definitely, you know, the FBI did have hold of our hard drive. They said they did not give it to the Singapore police, but it, we have all the evidence off the hard drive. And
but then you had some suspicious things happening with your computer,
with your email and all that.
I mean, somebody was watching.
Are they still doing it?
I've had a little bit of trouble. I had an app show up on my phone that I couldn't get rid of, and when we looked it up, it showed that it was an app to look at emails and text messages. That's just in the last few weeks
convenient.
I've been on radio. Yeah. But at that time, I was daily getting harassed. I would come home and all our doors would be open, which sounds funny, but it's just all open. And our door locks are coded, and so the FBI did substantiate my computer was hacked because with every email I sent out, there was a picture of Shane's pathology report from Singapore attached. I didn't know it. I found out inadvertently, called the FBI. They came over and said that a whole different location was controlling my computer. Our alarm system was hacked one night. I'm eating dinner. Rick's on a trip flying, you know, with American, and all of a sudden our alarm goes off, and I couldn't turn it off. When the alarm guys got there, he said, that's impossible. And he found out that it was being controlled from a different place. So
wow.
It was just harassment. And what I want to say is they can't scare me. They've taken my firstborn son.
Right.
I'm not going to be scared away. I don't think they're going to murder me. And if they do, you guys will know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's always best to hide right out in the open.
That's what I'm doing. Yep.
I just, and people really need to, I mean, there's always that school of thought that says, well, you know, this isn't going to change anything. But you know what? It will change something because on two levels. I don't think that if we're aware that our government is not defending American citizens, I mean, I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in our
yep.
government is representing somebody. So if the constituent
yep.
base won't stand for it, that's where change comes in. I mean, people get mad at the representatives, but the electorate put them there. And then on the flip side, China is doing a really big push to send students here to college, which is fine, but then they're befriending college students here, and, oh, China's great, and giving them the whole sales pitch, getting them to go there.
You can make a lot of money in China,
yeah,
come over and work.
And they're just so nice to them, and you just wonder, are they grooming them? Are they just making them non-adversarial? I mean, it could be that easy. You know, they won't believe shows like this.
I know for a fact they've infiltrated our universities. The same players that were involved with Shane are teaching in our universities. I have a dear friend who was getting a PhD who said that he was being asked to compromise U.S. security.
There you go.
Had to go to a whole different PhD program. I've sent this to all of our elected officials. I've sent the proof. It's happening in Columbia University, UCLA. I have the proof. And that is why I'm so passionate about highlighting the potential threat to U.S. security and the misuse of our technology and what China is doing. They have a 1,000-year or 100-year plan to overtake the world. There's books written about it. And I really do believe that for such a time as this, God has given my husband and our family the task of telling our story to warn people.
Well, I truly believe the technology that he was working on over there should have never been sent over there.
He was right to be worried.
He was right to be worried.
Yeah.
He knew the implications of that technology, and I think that's why our government wants to kind of tamp it down.
And the bad part is that for his patriotism, he was basically executed.
Yeah. And if you look at the administration during that time, what were they doing? Mm-hmm. I mean, they were bowing down to foreign leaders and wanting everybody to be equal. And this
selling
was
the U.S. out.
That's right.
Every single turn.
Yeah, they were complicit. And I'm hoping that that's not the case today. But
she didn't get rid of everybody.
No.
And then the bad part is, I understand that somebody in the capacity of their job, they're told, okay, you can't go testify, like the gal from the State Department. But, at what point do you have to have some integrity? You know what? I'm going to go be something different now. I'm going to go find a different career because I'm going to step up on this. It's going to take Americans to step up.
Yeah, and it will happen. I truly believe. I mean, my father was in law enforcement his entire life, and he told me one time that something like 90% of crimes are solved through somebody talking. And in this case, it may not happen today or tomorrow or next year, but at some point, you're going to have the answers. You're going to know who is involved in this because somebody's going to talk.
Yep.
And
you very much...
Well, I'm hoping for...
Yeah, you need a hero.
And I'm hoping with this new administration for a congressional investigation. That's what we wanted from the beginning. And I really believe that if our administration rises up and gets involved, that can take place, and it would shed light on a lot of what's going on.
Yeah.
And I just say there's a book called The 100-Year Marathon, Chinese Secret Strategy to Replace America as the Global Superpower by Michael Pillsbury. Very interesting book. And their world superpower they want by 2048. They're very patient people.
Oh, yes. They've always had
comforting.
They've always had the long game.
All right, Mary, can you believe it? We have run out of time.
Well, it's been a pleasure, you two.
Well,
thank
you
so
much
for this opportunity.
Well, thank you for coming on and telling your story. I know it probably wasn't easy.
You can find all of this at wethepeopleradio.us. Bye, Mary. We'll see you next week. Here's the song about your hero.
Bye-bye.